Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. Good morning from Helena, Montana. That's where I am. Another day out there. We had a great day out on the streets yesterday trying to raise awareness to Child Protective Services. Boy, if there was ever a moniker that was kind of fitting, that would be it. And real quickly, Russ Dizdar is with us today. So I'm telling you right off the top of the show so that you can email, text, tell everybody, hey, Russ is on with Coach. Now, I set it up last week and got kind of busy and almost forgot about it. No, I didn't forget about it. I forgot what day it was, you know. And it was on Tuesday, and I got up this morning and said, oh, my goodness, Russ is supposed to be on the show. And I didn't publicize it, and I didn't even really follow through with him. So I emailed him real quick this morning, and, of course, there he is like a real trooper ready to come in. So right now, everybody email or text or Facebook somebody and say, man, you got to tune in. Russ the Great's on with Coach Dave. A couple things I want to cover real quickly. Hey, listen, our buddy Todd Barham really needs our prayer again, man. He's, you know, Todd's been in a battle with leukemia for, I think it's been about a year. We lose track of time. And he's got an issue going on with his gallbladder, and they're going to have to put without just going into the details, just a lot of things that are going on. And Todd has fought the fight, man. What a fighter he is. And his leukemia is in remission, and he's doing good, but he's just getting attacked by a lot of different things that are bombarding him. So put Todd on your prayer list, if you will, and just continue to lift him up and hold him up. And I know there are a lot of people out there struggling with a lot of things, and we get into prayers and say, Coach, put me on that prayer list and all that stuff. And we don't try to ignore anybody and the issues that they have. And, you know, last week I asked for prayer for our granddaughter. So I'm not trying to make light of your condition and your need for prayer. It's just, if you've been a part of this show at all, you know how dear Todd is to our heart and what he's been through and what a warrior and a champion he is. So Todd just stands in need of some prayer, and that the Lord, how about the Lord just miraculously touch that thing? I know, Larry, Lord's will be done. The Lord's will be done. So we agree with you on that. Michelle's having her retreat. Some women are coming to that. Michelle will be getting out details to you in the next, if she hasn't got all the details to you, she's been a busy grandma. You know, our granddaughter was in the horse pistol as well. So things have been hectic at our house. And Michelle, get that information out to you about her retreat coming up this weekend. I want to make sure I said something about that. Boy, my eyes are getting worse. And just continue to be in prayer, man. Just if you would, for all of us. You know, folks, this may seem glamorous to some of you, and I don't want this to sound wrong. Morning, Keith. As Russ can attest to, and anybody who does what we do can attest to, you know, travel seems glamorous. You know, it does. Oh, you get to go to Helena, Montana. Yeah, I do. But is it, you know, it's about eight hour, you know, flights and sitting in a hotel, and then I got to do it again to go home. And it's not as glamorous as it seems. So just continue to pray that the Lord orders our steps, and we have great, great energy and great protection and all that kind of stuff. Before I get Russ in here, I got a thousand great things that I can talk about today, but I'm going to put them off for tomorrow. Keith's just getting up. We had a great day yesterday out on the streets, out in front of the State House and Child Protective Services. And we went several different places out on the street, holding signs. We're going to do it again today. And it's all good. But one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I touch base on is this whole issue of vaccinations. You know, I'm not going to do the show on vaccinations. Maybe I'll do one tomorrow, but I got to make something really, really clear. I got more reaction on my email yesterday because I mentioned, just brought up the topic of vaccinations. And I appreciate everyone who sent me an email. I appreciate your concern. I have to make some things very, very clear. Number one, I don't make decisions for my children. my children make their own decisions for whether their kids are going to be vaccinated or not, right? So I don't want you to think that I'm some king with a fiefdom here and said none of my grandkids are going to be vaccinated. That's not my children. They make our children make that decision. They're well informed. We've given them information on it, and they're the ones who make the decisions on that. Okay, so I don't want you to think that I'm ruling like some tyrant somewhere, because we're not. Issue number two, and I would just say this with a clear heart. This is not, folks, listen to me. This is not your mom and dad's vaccinations. This isn't the old, remember the old smallpox vaccination where they scratched you on the arm? You remember that back 60 years ago, whatever that was, and the polio vaccination? Remember when we used to go out and we used to drink Sabin on Sunday, I think is what they called it when I was a kid, and the whole family went to the local high school and everybody in the community got the polio vaccination? Some of you old folks, you remember that, right? We remember that. And I don't make light at all of the literally millions and millions of lives that have been saved by vaccinations. I don't make light of that at all. But listen, a part of this tinfoil hat program that we have here at Coach Dave Live is for you to understand, as I said, this is not your father's vaccinations. And all I would say to you is do your research. Do your research. And then you make the decision about the risks, rewards, and what you think you should do. Now, I got a lot of stuff I could throw up on here. I'm not going to throw it up here today, but I'm going to tell you this. I got a video I could play you right now with this doctor. I'm just not going to do it because I'm going to move on to Russ. But a doctor made a video for Catholics, okay? Because Catholics were being concerned. Catholics are pro-life, supposed to be pro-life. Catholics were coming to the doctor and they were concerned about, they had heard that there were fetal tissues in vaccinations, all right? And so this doctor answers this one. And you know what he said? Yes, there are fetal tissue in vaccinations. Yes, there are. Now, for those of us who are a little bit more tinfoil hatty than maybe everybody else is, hey, folks, you ever heard of DNA? You ever heard of that? And you've ever heard of injecting somebody else's DNA in you? Now, the reality of it is that happens during vaccinations. Do your own research. I got a great website. Jared, maybe you can throw that up there real quick. This is from Mike Adams of the Health Ranger and now I got to find it, Jared, so you can put it up on the screen. Sorry, Russ, bear with me here a second.
You're good.
This is important. That's not it. Vaccine news. Yes, vaccine news. Throw it up there, Jared. It's the very first one. Let's see if he gets it up here. And folks, listen, Just go through this. Now, that's the wrong one, Jared. Although that one's good. That one's good. Vaccines. Yes, this is from Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Folks, just look at this homepage at all the information on vaccines. All right. Don't take it from me. You have to make those own decisions for you and your family. All right. But there's a lot of things that we need to be concerned with regarding vaccinations, especially in this day with Dr. Frankenstein, when the medical association and the CDC are acting like Dr. Frankenstein. We know this is going on, folks. So I appreciate all of you sent me the email. We're concerned about it, that we weren't vaccinating, yada, yada, yada. Just get informed and then make your own decision. Hey, Russ, real quickly, Russ.
Yes, sir.
I know you're not a scientist. But Russ, I can't even imagine me going out somewhere and if somebody told me, hey, Coach Dave, go to Wendy's and get this special sauce and put this special sauce on there. And Coach Dave, it has aborted tissue on it and it'll make that hamburger taste really good. You don't think the average guy would go do that, would they, Russ?
No, they must not have seen the movie Soylent Green.
Yes, sir. Soylent Green is people, right?
Yeah, it's we have to, you know, now's the day that we have to examine every single thing going on. And CDC also has a portion on their website, zombification. And it's not a game. It's not, they're not kidding. It's as if they're preparing for what they're behind the scenes, what's going on. The concerns that a certain biological or something viral will go out and alter us. So if you go to the CDC, you're going to find under zombification, their concerns that there would be some kind of massive outbreak that brings immediate alteration to DNA to a person, turning them into crazy people, killing people. But that's not a television show. That's the CDC warning of that and how to prepare for that. and give some of the reasons for brain change. So we need to do that in our foods, in everything we're taking in. There is, you're absolutely right on this issue, because that's what it's all about. Ultimately, alteration.
Because Russ, it's the same thing. Like I try to warn people. We have people who are working in the medical field, whatever it would be. Russ, they're not believers. They're not believers. So when you get to the point where you're talking about ethics and what's right and what's wrong and where should you draw the line, Russ, we're talking about unsaved people. And we're talking about unsaved people who are working for you know, they're working for a company, they're making money, they come up with some newfangled vaccine, something like that. There's a lot of money involved in this, Russ.
So, hey, Coach.
Yeah, yes, well, hang on a second, Mark. The idea that we can trust our government the way we used to, come on, man, that went out the window a long time ago. Come on, Amen. Mark. Come on in, Mark.
Well, I just want to play devil's advocate, give you even a tougher argument. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. They just released this fake news, right? They just released the vaccine that cure cancer. Are you going to go get the vaccine?
You got right? me there, buddy. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, now, how far do you let the medical profession go when you say, I'm not accepting that diagnosis, I don't receive it? And then your body don't contract cancer. Where does that play a part? Where's our godly vaccination? Where's our spiritual vaccination, right?
Yeah.
It don't contain fetal tissue.
Wow. What do you think, Russ? Spirit from a spiritual standpoint.
I think it's true. I mean, look at GMOs from, you know, in the beginning, they were trying to sell everybody on GMOs. The rest of the world, most of the world is dumping GMOs completely. I mean, there's countries that will not allow GMOs in their nation at all for the people. They've looked at it. They've examined it. Coach, number one, you're right on the issue of money. Billions and billions of dollars being made by Pharmacon and just their, you know, that whole issue. But I'm going to say again, the issue of testing to see whether or not, are they testing to see if there's alterations? Are they testing to see about how docile they can make a population? Are they? Yeah. So there's always this testing going on behind the scene, and what the real agenda is. Thank God there's many out there that are studying every ounce of this to give, you know, some truth concerning it. And so, yeah, I think we need to scream the issue, especially when it comes down to fetal tissue. I mean, you've got Bezos from Amazon, and I believe it's also the second owner. Like, there's two guys that own PayPal. If you look up the one of them, the blood injections they're giving, youth blood cells, it's amazing what some of the billionaires and others are doing to, well, there's the issue of prolonging life. So what will they take into their bodies? You said it very clearly. Dr. Frankenstein. It's how, you know, we should compare this. Maybe this generation now doesn't know about the Nazi doctors and what they did. And taking a look at some of the most so-called brilliant minds during that day, and you're right, the ethics went out. They did anything they wanted to do in altering, giving substances, everything you can possibly think of. And that's where the danger was.
Russ, we can't even deny, people in America can no longer deny what Planned Parenthood's been doing, the abortion industry. Russ, they have been taking unborn babies and using unborn babies in experiments and who knows what else. True. Again, folks, it comes back to ethics. We are trusting ungodly people without a real solid set of ethics, or better yet, Russ, a confused set, meaning what? Well, this may not be the best thing to do, but on the other hand, it's going to save a lot of lives. And so they juggle back and forth. And it's not always a darkened, evil heart, but it's a heart without a foundation of Christ, who doesn't understand the choices that lie before them. So I'm not trying to say that every doctor, and they're not all evil. They're just deceived, especially if they haven't received the Holy Spirit inside them. Amen on that, Russ?
Amen on all of that. Absolutely. And again, the ability to, you know, really be, you know, really be up on the subject matter, take a look at all like you're doing right now, because there's so many fronts nowadays that are, you know, before us. The good news I have, Dave, for you and what you're doing and what many of others have done. Here's what I believe. I believe that we might be on the edge of abolishing abortion. I think we really are at a point. Listen, 30 million Christians should have done this, 30 years ago. It's our fault in this culture as believers that 30 million of us did not stand up way back 30 years ago and describe the procedures of injecting a baby and killing it. If you have a baby on the outside, just even 2 hours, 2 years ago, that's considered murder, homicide, and abuse of corpse.
Right.
So we have to scream this out, make it clear, put out the pictures. I see a big swing. Then we've got to go to this area where Planned Parenthood has done this. And listen, I think Mark's good on this subject matter when it comes down to the using and altering and testing us. It's not that it's not been done before. It has been done before. And so we have to. It's a very big thing. Even my own granddaughter, my daughter, when it comes to vaccinations, she's chosen not to. And so that eliminates, she's not going to be going to a public school anyway, but, there's to think of here to have forced vaccinations. But I'm saying again, check out the CDC on zombification. For them, it's no joke. They perceive that some kind of problem. It may be that they know that they know what's going to happen down the road, but they're preparing from that site the concerns of a biological, some kind of something viral, something that alters brain and turns many people a contagion. But they call it zombification.
Wow. Well, Russ, just as a note of encouragement, I had it in the stuff I was going to show today. The Supreme Court of the United States refused to hear a challenge to the Kentucky abortion regulation, which said a woman had to have an ultrasound before they could do the abortion. So they challenged it through the courts. It went to the Supreme Court yesterday, and the Supreme Court refused to hear the appeal. So, Russ, it tells me that the worm is really, really turning on this thing, and we really have to amp up our gains because now's a critical time to do it. But, Russ, listen, let's I just love having you on because you take us places that we don't really ever go on our own. But, Russ, talk a bit, if you can, a little bit about this idea of their headedness towards transhumanism or the mixing of the DNA and the you would say, well, what does it hurt if I take in the fetal cell in some vaccine? Well, I did it didn't hurt me. Yeah, but it could show up a generation down the road or two generations down the road. And this is all part of the just the whole, as I said earlier, the Frankenstein thing. Take off on that, Russ.
Well, I think we got to remember the elites behind the scenes. And I don't want to bring rituals in here today, but when you come down to the issue of rituals too, the charging of blood, the alteration when it comes down to rituals, demonization of blood, because it's one thing to talk about gene splicing, talking about altering DNA. We can go back to Babylon where the rituals may have been done to alter DNA to create Gaborim, something to enhance humanity, prolong humanity, and transhumanists are at the cutting edge of doing all they can to see. They've got a goal by 2045, the 2045 initiative. When it comes to transhumanism, they are, you're talking about Dmitry Itzkoff, the Russian billionaire involved, all the geneticists, and I was at the meeting, I've talked about this before, where they discuss this whole thing about the alteration of humanity, the drive they have to bring about immortality, which means they have to alter DNA, because all geneticists know they call it the death gene. We have a death gene that as we get older, the replication goes down, and so they just look at it as a physiological thing that if they can simply somehow find the death gene, do something, either splice it out and splice in the immortal gene or something to alter DNA. This is exactly, and I don't want to go off the charts here, but this is exactly a movement towards the Nephilim issue. Because when I was in New York, Lincoln Plaza, with all those transhumanists worldwide, I mean, world-renowned geneticists, inventors, scientists, we're talking Ray Kurzweil from Google was on stage right next to a Russian cosmist, a Russian cosmist explained, with massive pictures behind on the screen. Massive pictures. As the scientists were explaining the development of altering humanity and creating humanity, you know, 3.0 or 6.0 or whatever, when they talked about that drive to eliminate death, to alter humanity, which includes the alteration of DNA, and you're talking about the cutting edge people around the world, they then brought pictures on the screen of the sky gods. Believe this or not, this is a Russian cosmist who brings the pictures of sky gods. He stands on stage with the world-renowned geneticists, inventors, Ray Kurzweil, all the rest of them, and he explains to the whole crowd that was there, that was from around the world, and they were all there excited about transhumanism. He explained to them that the ancient gods of the sky are guiding the scientists. They're guiding the scientists, Dave, so because they want to be able to produce, they want to be able to evolve humanity to immortality. And here's what he said right on stage at this massive scientific geneticist. You know, they have theoretical physicists there. He explained that the ancient gods desire a return of the godmen hybrid on stage. That was the cutting edge information given on the 2045 initiative for the transhumanists. So, and look at the Mormons and their involvement in this whole thing. So think in terms of evolution to, what is it, homo deity, homo lumos, homo nautic. So they want to change. You know what they're missing in all this? Something's wrong with us. They don't know why death is here. The wages of sin is death. Our DNA has been altered. It has been altered in the fall of the human race. We weren't meant for this. Death is an intrusion. To God, death is an enemy. And the message that we now bring is that the death of death is in the death of Christ. He blasts apart the finality of death by the resurrection. He came to conquer death. Death is an enemy. They don't understand death. When I was up there, they couldn't understand. They could not explain consciousness. They could not explain death. They couldn't even define what immortality was. For them, immortality was taking your 1965 car and giving a new engine every few, you know, touching up the rust. You know, so we're going to be a bunch of bondoed people with a new muffler and every 10 years so that we can kind of, you know, be altered along the way and still somehow exist. They fear death so badly. And so a lot of this is driven by those who have zero hope. A lot of it is driven by the money, billions that we made. But listen, let's take another step below that. The alteration of human DNA is ultimately coming out of Hell's Kitchen. And we need to look there. We need to look at that when it comes down to the coming Antichrist, biblical prophecy, the alteration of humanity. That has to be.
Let me take you to the kitchen a little bit here, Russ, because one of the Bible verses we use a lot, I use a lot here on the show, is Psalm 2, right?
Yeah.
The kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed, right?
Absolutely.
Russ, who would be the kings who are they referring to there, Russ, in Psalm 2? The kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. Is that just elected officials, Russ? Is it the German president getting together with the French president? Is that what we're talking about?
I believe it includes them. I believe that when we talk, we can talk about deep state, but what we need to do is go talk about deeper than the deep state, the mysterium. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says the mystery of iniquity is already at work. The word work or gais meaning supernaturally operative. The word mysterium is a reference to the global, I'm going to try to do this with my hands. Here's the demonic realm interfacing with the elites, the kings of the earth, political, military, economic leaders, Elon Musk. I mean, you're talking, you got to realize that the coming system that's coming has to be political, military, the financial wealthy, and the technologically elite. So you have a behind-the-scenes interface of the demonic world with the elites. That, in the biblical picture, they have to be there for decades before they come out into the world. I believe they're already in place. I believe they're already the ones below deep state that have the power to influence some of the unwittings. But yes, ultimately, if you go to Psalm 2 and talk about the peoples, the nations, and then the kings of the earth, they make their stand.
Mm-hmm.
Look who they make their stand against: the Lord
And his anointed.
And the Lord's anointed, the Lord's Christ. So you take Psalm 2 and go all the way to Revelation 19:19. When the Antichrist and the kings of the earth make it onto the field of Armageddon and raise their weapons up. Now, even stop there for a moment. Revelation 19:19, the beast, the Phalion, the Antichrist, the hybrid, he makes it onto the world stage around Jerusalem. I would say my speculation, 200 million super type soldiers, let alone the Archelect weapons and things. But let's back up to Revelation 16. That's why God has given us, we have greater intel than the CIA, DIA, and all those put together when it comes down to what God has said they're going to do. So look at Revelation 16 again. This is very important for us because this has not yet happened. Revelation 16, out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, demonic presence is sent on a global planetary level. And this is a ritual-like release of demonic, and who are they targeting? In Revelation 16, the demons that are sent out have been sent out with assignment to go to the kings of the earth and gather them together for the great day of God Almighty. So you're going to have the constant drive for the alteration of humanity, which may have in that a kind of you know how I talk about didache daimonia?
Yeah, yes.
I also want to say satanic, satanus doctrines, didache satanus, where in the garden, Satan himself spoke and promised an evolution to godhood if they would, of course, exchange God for him, and that involved the words that were spoken. And in the fall, we have to understand this. In the fall of the human race, the Spirit of God left, and immediately an alteration to our physical, spiritually, but also physical. Our DNA has been corrupted. The death gene is there because of the fall of the human race. No transhumanist is going to get it out. No drug's going to get it out. Lost humanity with no hope is going to continue to try to, you know, do what they do to save themselves. But on the other side, one step lower, just this last moment, I'll mention this. I believe that there's a dark side agenda also for the sake of either the alteration of humanity in preparation for what's coming, for the sake of control. That's what it's all about ultimately, because what we've never heard the sermon, and I bet you've never heard the sermon from Revelation 12, that Satan and his mesangelos, the fallen ones, their target is the sum total of the human race. We in the body of Christ in the West don't have a deep enough understanding of the concept of their warfare, that agenda, which means their target is the sum total of the human race for subjugation, leading them astray, alteration, and to use that humanity is fire, and in the ultimate end game, you know, it comes down to Revelation 19:19. That end game right there. It's not even the temple. It's ultimately getting there. But you're going to have a world of augmented. Dave Himmler spoke this back in 1939, 1940, 1941, somewhere around there. He said if they could but create. Now this is spirit. He's spiritually guided. He believes this. He says, if we could create but 200 million godmen, and he called them super soldiers, if we can create 200 million of these godmen, we can not only conquer the world, but we can rule the world for 1,000 years, a Third Reich. So those concepts never went away. That satanically charged science, those sciences that were spiritually charged, And I mean, I don't know if we're ready to understand this in the West, that Elon Musk and many of the scientists like that, we need to look at what they're really looking at, what they're really studying, and all of that. And I think Mark's good on the issue of AI and all that, Artilex, because all of this is development, so that when it all breaks loose, and Antichrist is gonna, you know, he's coming. Period. He's coming. It's gonna happen. The assimilation of you talk about right now driving people you know, and parents and making them have their kids get certain injections and all that. And the battle, you know, that's a battle line. We need to, there's a real battle line right there. But it's all in preparation. It's all going to become strong. It's all going to get worse in that sense. So now is the day to do what you're doing, to sound the alarm and step out and educate and fight this.
So Russ, I can only begin to understand your frustration. Folks, listen, I'm going to let some of you get in here with questions in just a second. I did a show last week, Russ, on the Overton window. I don't know if you've really ever followed the Overton window, but for those who've never heard what it is, it's basically, as you look at me, it's like framing an issue in a movie, all right? And you zoom in, you don't see all the peripheral, you just zoom in, and that's what you all look at. And one of the things that the enemy's trying to do is to always frame the issue for us and not give us the bigger picture, right, Russ? So you're a guy who has the bigger picture, but one of the greatest frustrations of your life for us is you are not able to get that window expanded into the church where people are for first time ever be able to pull that window back and say, oh my goodness, I didn't see that. I didn't know that. And we were being controlled by, I called it the deep religious state, who will not go inside that outside of that window. You run into that a lot, don't you, Russ? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Dave, that is, you know, it's so absolutely true, because and what you're saying right there is, and as much as I love the body of Christ, I'm part of the body of Christ, you know, weak or strong brothers around me. I got brothers that are greatly strong all around. So I'm here, the body of Christ, I'm here. I believe Jesus said he'd build a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. As we're under his lordship, under him, in his power. And so I believe he does. We are here. That salvation, all that Jesus brings, we're to be the powerhouses. We're to be the most advanced people on the planet. But you're right. How many have heard a sermon on the red horse? How many have heard a sermon on the ultimate end of Armageddon and
artificial intelligence, Russ? How many have heard a sermon on artificial intelligence?
Well, or even on the basics of spiritual warfare. So when you say that phrase that some are not, you know, leaders, and I hit leaders more than ever now on the radio. I'm hitting leaders more than ever on that issue. And I'm thinking 2020, because it really does come down to pastoral leadership. When we have 3 or 5 or 6, 8 seconds of prayer in a local church gathering, that is an evidence of that we are literally dead. We think it's normal, but it's subnormal. We are existing right now in the West with a subnormal church, and we think it's normal.
Right.
We think it's normal to be bored. We think it's normal to see nothing but powerlessness. We think it's normal to go to a service and leave 2 hours later and not even remember what was there. Because it should be a place where God is all over the place, power, might, strength, his workings. It should be such a place that the whole community knows, bring your sick people, bring your drug addicts, bring, you know, it should be a powerful place. Even in the book of Acts, when God did certain things, certain acts, there was a great fear among the people, even about the presence of this incredibly powerful body of Christ. And here's the only good news I want to give. We could become this immediately in repentance and returning and grabbing hold of everything. We need to have everything God gives. God, it's not the things around us that are happening that, like, God saying, oh, I didn't see that coming. if we have that concept, if we have that concept of all, we don't know the God we serve. He's so far ahead of us. He's so far beyond us. There's nothing coming that he doesn't know, that he doesn't have prepared in the scripture for us. We could be at the cutting edge, powerfully, spiritually seeing with our eyes, because of the world that we're living in. Not only is it going to grow darker, more violent, more alteration in the kind of – well, there's a book I have called by Bob Rosier called The Satanization of Society. That's what's happening in the satanic agenda, to satanize the mentality, thinking, the political ideology. I mean, look at the crazy rancor that's going on in our politics right now. That's deep state, but behind the deep state is the spiritual power and presence that's altering all of this. And if the church doesn't understand how to pray against it, could you imagine if, let's just say, tens of thousands of churches would stop this stupid, subnormal, you know, Christianity.
Amen.
And when we gather together, part of what we do is for 1 half hour nonstop, we're massively praying massive intercession for the cities that we live in. We're praying for the extension of the kingdom of God. We're praying for the power of God. We're praying for massive things, miraculous things to be done. And then we acknowledge the authorities given us, and we then come against the drug lords and the drug issue, and then against abortion and against human trafficking and against corruption. We have the right, and I'm going to do this in Hickory. I'm going to do this again in Hickory and all the conferences coming up. I believe that there's not a possibility that not one Christian can remain in the Democratic Party. You must renounce it. You must speak out against it. You must pray against it. You must understand how corrupt it is, because to vote for any Democrat is to vote for the slaughter of babies.
Amen. So
globalism. And then we need to tell the Republicans, we're coming for you also.
Amen. That's right. So Russ, I'm going to open it up here for questions, Russ. This is my own personal experience. When I got born again, brother, I got it all. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I something hit me like I can't even tell you.
Sure.
Radically transformed my life. But Russ, I went through about 15, 16, 17, 18 years of my Christian experience thinking that this thing was all about me. That God came to bless me, right? And give me a better job and finances. And it was one trip, Russ, to one conference, and I don't even know how I ended up there, that I saw for the first time all this stuff that you guys are talking about. And Russ, once my eyes were open, we call it now being red-pilled, right? Mm-hmm. Once I was red-pilled and understood what the battle really was, and it's, golly, it's here in education, and it's here in government, and it's here in medicine, and it's everywhere I look, the same enemy is. Once I got the greater idea, the greater understanding of what was going on, my entire faith became even more alive, because I saw this something more than just personal. Russ, it's about my children and my grandchildren and my neighbor's children. It's about all those things, because why? Oh, seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. It's not just a personal attack on me anymore. This thing is broader than what we've been taught it is. Are you feeling me, Russ?
I feel you completely on that one, because see here again, you know, my worry isn't about me. You know what it is to be saved. I know I'm going to see the face of God. I know this great salvation, this great Savior. So yes, the pursuit isn't to get happier. I don't know how I can be more happier in a sense. I know where I stand, but you're right. We are here to be. And this is, again, where Western Christianity has lost it. We've been so enculturated to be appeasing the culture and to kind of blending in that nobody even knows that we exist, that the church is out there. So I sometimes say, you know, if 100 of your churches in your local city disappeared over a weekend, would anybody notice? The powerlessness, if we don't come to grips with the subnormal, powerless level of the church, then the body of Christ really is Laodicea, or not just a cliche. We really are Sardis, once alive, but we become dead. Goodness, that can be flipped over. Every Christian, don't wait for your leaders. Don't wait for anybody. You go to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You become powerful. You become strong. You realize this is a fight. We have to learn that we are in a fight. We are in a battle. We're in a you know, we want to be fighters. We want to be able to do everything we can to strike the dark side. And this is another principle that the body of Christ, I believe, doesn't understand threat analysis when it comes to, you know, what's here right now and what is coming. I mean, I could tell you by the sheer numbers, there's going to be more practitioners tomorrow, more demonized people in the next number of weeks. You think it's been bad the last few years.
Amen. You haven't seen nothing yet, buddy.
4 hours people standing in line at some of these conferences for prayer of relief. They want relief of demonic oppression. They're realizing that it's here. Many don't know what to do with it. Most of the people we pray for could have wiped out their problem long before they came to the conference if they were given the tools, if they were equipped with what we have in Christ. What we have is highly superior. But I want to mention one last verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's another Greek word I'll bring out, tufluo. It is the scripture that tells us that the God of this eon, the God of this age, this time period, He is blinding the minds. The word blind is tufluo. It means to blow fog, to completely fog out. You know, like if you're going down a straightaway and a massive fog comes, you don't know if there's a car 2 feet in front of you or 20 feet away. You know that you have to stop. lest you run right into a wall, you run into another car, you run somebody over, because you can't see. So if you look at 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age, see, the real key is in the supernatural realm that affects the physical realm, like with Job. And so when he's blowing the smoke, in a sense, he's operative in blinding the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see.
And also believers, I believe, Russ, blinding the mind of believers
no question.
So they can't see.
No question about it. And the opposite of that is Ephesians 1, where Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you can see, that you can comprehend. The Greek word for the eyes of the heart means the areas that you perceive and comprehend and really experience the full presence of God, the knowledge of God, the inheritance that is coming. And that only comes from a yieldedness filled with the Spirit of God, deep in the Word of God, which requires us to look, which requires us to watch. You know, Colossians 4, 2, you know, we're to be in prayer, we're to be watching, and we're to be giving thanks. Most Christians don't know what watching is all about. It's the Greek word, gregoruo. It means that we're to be looking for the impending dangers and deal with them.
That's what a watchman does, isn't it? That's what a watchman does.
Yep.
Hey, Russ, I got to let some of these guys get in here. They'll never,
Yeah. Hey, Russ.
Yes.
I totally agree with you that the church should be the active place. The church should be where people are up to date. The church should be where knowledge is there that can be turned into wisdom. And I believe it is. It is those places where that isn't happening aren't the church. They are pretenders. They are satanic social clubs. And just as in Ezekiel's day, God told Ezekiel, you let that religious mess that's built itself up stay there. Says you bring out those few sons of Zadok and y'all start again. And exactly the same thing is going on now. God is telling those who are professing his word from his mouth to the masses, to the people, they're saying, you let those people in those satanic clubs that want to be there stay there. Says, but those persons who are bound to be the members of the true body of Christ, says, you go in there and you find those sons of Zadok and you bring them out and you become that royal priesthood.
Let the dead bury the dead, right, Russ? Let the dead bury the dead.
Agreed. And there's entire denominations that are no longer, they're just simply apostates. So the decision is, if there's anybody who's a real strong, I mean, born-again believer that's in some kind of apostate system or denomination, whatever, you got to make the decision whether you're going to cater to that, whether you're going to come out and like John Wesley did, he just came in and blew them away, literally ripped away from the Anglican stuff. So that's what I'm saying, and I've said this before the conferences, Dave. We must rip away this, what we're seeing right now. Mm-hmm. And because the good news is Jesus came to create a church that is a powerhouse, that is a what is the greatest enemy of the body of Christ? The gates of hell. Literally, again, in the Greek, the gates of hell and what's coming out of the gates of hell. That's the concept of the Greek, what Satan is throwing out. So the gates of hell and what's coming out cannot withstand the church.
I never thought about that. It's not the gates, is it, Russ? It's what's coming out of the gates, right?
Sure.
Unbelievable. Somebody else, go on in.
The amazing thing here, the church is to be the pillar and support of the truth. It's become pillows and support groups. The truth will set you free. Jesus says, sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. You abide in the truth and you're set free. So we're fighting the father of lies, but we have the father of lights, the truth. And that's what we've got to do. Speak the truth.
True. Amen. As uncomfortable as it might be. Yeah, somebody else, come on in. Good word, Robert.
And I'll also mention really quick here, just the idea of the word repentance. You know how good the word repentance is? If we don't listen, if the body of Christ understand that repentance, it's metanoia, meaning there's a total turnaround. Repentance is a good thing. If we do not repent of the strongholds and sins and things in the flesh areas, we're stuck there. Romans 6, to whomsoever we obey, we become slaves of that. And so when you mentioned about, you know, support groups and self-help, repentance, cutting at the root, repentance completely, and then yieldedness, appropriation of that, so great a salvation, so powerful is his salvation, so absolutely faithful to every promise Jesus is and God is. We could be just astoundingly confident and competent in our ministry and our walk with the Lord. I hear you guys saying it. Don't wait on anybody else. And you, yep. And there's a lot of believers that may have to go out and launch a house church and start somewhere else.
Amen. Amen. So Russ, guys, just always a million things I could ask you, but I this has been on my heart over the last year as I watched a friend got cancer and went through a horrible battle and died, and people were praying for him, weren't getting healed. And something popped out at me, Russ. I said, in the scriptures, it talks about a spirit of infirmity. Mm-hmm. And I've often, over the last year, pondered, Russ, are we trying to ask to be healed what needs to be cast out?
In the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus, here's what it says, and Jesus healed the man and the demon left. So there is healing that's connected to demonic. So here's what I believe. I believe God heals. I believe, and when I go to pray for somebody for healing, I go confidently, I go to expect healing. But when healing doesn't occur right away, and we pray we're praying about healing, we're anointing, and we're praying for healing, then we have to begin to say, Lord, what's going on here? Is this demonic? Is it somebody's sin that has brought sickness to? Is it an assignment issue? So we could pray the Spirit of God to give us insight when healing is not occurring right away. You know, what is ultimately you're absolutely right. And that's a part of the whole Western Christianity's dumbed down. We're not looking at, I think that Western Christianity would be just like the three counselors Job had.
Wow. Well, Russ, I've heard you say several times, this kind cometh out only through prayer and fasting, right?
Yes. Yes.
So this kind could be a spirit of infirmity, could it not?
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. They absolutely sure can. And that's exactly what has to be prayed about. Exactly. So if we understand our authority, we have the spirit of prayer and supplication guiding us as we're praying over somebody to say, what is going on here? What is here? In the name of Jesus, whatever demonic. So, we should be looking at that. And again, the more we as real believers, anointed and experienced in the Spirit of God to know and to look and perceive, that should be a part of the equation.
So Russell, when we're sitting around and we're going to have a big meal at your house, that big old meal that you put on at your house. And I said, can somebody say grace? And somebody says, yeah. And there's a Lord bless this food. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Russ, there's a deeper significance to that, because think about all the GMO stuff that's going on and the way they're modifying everything. When you pray over your food, brother, we shouldn't just do that casually, right? You're praying over that food because there is could possibly something demonic or something demonic having been done to that that's altered that could alter us. Yes or no?
I don't think we understand that all the imports that we get, you know, like even like hair for women imports where they're praying and they're offering the hair to the gods, and they're blessing it to the demon gods, and then they're sending it to the West for women to put into their hairs, in the foods that come here and the restaurants we go to. My wife doesn't like to go to Thai restaurants or, you know, where they have those kind of Nephilim. There's one place we have locally here. It has like a Nephilim looking Buddha statue type thing, and I rebuke it anytime we ever go there. And this is what Paul did in the book of Romans, sanctifying the food issue, praying. And there's a sanctification issue there that is to set things apart. And I would say this: if there's ever a time I feel I'm not going to go in this place, I don't feel we need to go to this place or a certain kind of food, we as believers need to make, you know, like Leviticus taught the principle of clean and unclean.
Right.
We don't just listen. We should not just be. That's what the world wants to sell us. Everything, and
obviously. So Russ, when we say bless this food, we should be saying, Lord, don't let there be anything in this that's going to harm me. Right. It's not just thank you for the food.
Sure. Sure. And you might have to be praying. Is this meat okay?
Yeah.
I think understanding and trusting that God knows what, how, when, and all the other aspects of blessing the food, Yeah. If you trust God to give his blessing is going to be better than any list you could come up with.
Sure. But if we understand it, though. That's what I'm saying, Larry. Understand his authority over it. So, hey, listen, somebody else come on in.
Coach, it's one thing to know the food is bad for you and you still eat it, and it's another thing to not know it. So when you pray over the food, unknowingly, you're covering yourself. I believe God honors that. But when you know it's bad for you and there's stuff in it and you participate anyway, there's stuff covering there, brother.
Yeah. Good point, Randy. Very good point.
Good point.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Hey, good to hear you, Russ, this morning. This is great. And whenever you're on here, we get a lot out of this. Just wanted to let you know that. And, Coach, I just wanted to say, don't forget the daily devotional today. Russ will like this one. It's fitting for today.
Robert, you get that one wound up. Dr. Robert Klaus has become part of our show, Russ, and he's written a daily devotional that ain't like anything. And so we have him read it every day. So we'll get you in here at some point, Doc. Somebody else.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
We need a farm. Put everybody on where we can raise our own food.
Oh, yeah.
Then we know what's in it.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. But, you know, also the truth is a lot of people live in an area where they can't, number one, they can't grow it. They can't store it. I mean, we have a lot of issues that we're dealing with here in regards to nature and some of the things that are coming down in the area in which people live. It's pretty amazing. But I hear you. Somebody else.
Hey, Russ.
Yes, sir.
What the whole legalization of marijuana, demonic activity, is there any tie in between those things?
Good question.
You know, you're talking to an old pothead.
Your head looks like a pot.
So I'm talking about someone who lived it day by day by day by day, years. I mean, before I got saved, the day I got saved, Jesus came in. He surpassed any drug. This acid head, pothead, bar fighting, crazy Cheech and Chong kind of person, when I got saved, that all ended. I'm concerned because two articles I just read. I might do a series on marijuana coming up here, because I'm outraged about the issue, because there's so much lying going on. The ones that want to sell it are making hundreds of millions of dollars. Look what happened in Colorado, and all the kids that begin to go there, all the street kids now, all the crime issues. There's a Fed report. I'm going to say this. I just read two reports, newer reports on the effects of marijuana on DNA that will not only affect you and downgrade your DNA, but affect your grandchildren down the road.
There you go.
So it brings a catabolic effect to your system. I don't know why we don't understand this. When we all used to smoke pot, we were slower. We were, you know, we thought it was funny. We crashed our cars. We couldn't fight very fast. That's why we got beat up most of the time. So when I see, and everybody that smoked pot was doing acid and doing downers and doing whatever else. So don't tell me that it's not a gateway drug to deeper drugs. It is, because you want another high and another high. Every heroin addict smokes pot. Every meth head smokes pot. So when we see all this, what's going on, and everybody playing this game with this right now, the industry that's saying that it's all good for you, is the industry making hundreds of millions, and they're not telling you that it brings literal alteration to your chemical system, your body, your brain cells. And now, if what I'm studying is correct, an alteration of DNA, I understand that. That's what pharmakia is supposed to do. It's supposed to make an alteration. And notice this. In all the days, late 60s, early 70s, that I was into pot, it led to New Age spirituality. It didn't lead to God. It didn't lead to Christ. Mm. God doesn't use marijuana to get people saved. We don't need to go join in church, smoke pot. We've got the Spirit of God. We've got a river of life flowing out of us. So I believe that it is part of the scourge. The drug scourge right now includes global marijuanaization, because it involves dumbing down, opening doors to the dark side. It'll lead to ayahuasca. It's going to lead to Boda. It's going to lead to other things that open people up to the spirits. There's no question. It's going to, the dark side, as with left-hand path, does incremental, step by step, little by little by little, until there's a saturation of all of it. So we have a scourge when it comes to the drugs, and marijuana is a part of that scourge.
Amen. Amen. Robert Klaus, come on in. Go ahead real quick. Robert Klaus. Russ, I want you to hear this. This guy's written this devotional. I'm going to get you information of it. It's going to be up on the screen, and it's amazing. Every time we do this, it ties in with exactly what we're talking about. So go ahead, Robert, if you can.
Yeah. December 10th, it says, there's a quote by Smith Wigglesworth. Before a man can bind the enemy, he must know that there's nothing binding him. That's Smith Wigglesworth. Spiritual warfare is an essential spiritual discipline today. Scripture is full of teaching, commands, and warnings concerning the necessity for a Christian to be wise in the art of spiritual warfare. This means knowing the strategies of the devil and his fallen demonic co-workers, as well as possessing knowledge and skill in our warfare against such principalities and powers and their schemes. There are many scriptures showing how the devil and his demons still kill and destroy family, marriage, health, society, godly values, life, and truth. The devil seeks to compromise Christian values, undermine Christian duties, and oppose spiritual disciplines. These include evangelism, discipleship, follow-up, holy living, prayer, worship, in fellowship with God, all documented as demonically targets. We ignore such to our peril. To ignore the devil or to live as if he doesn't exist and not rely on God's grace and spiritual provisions to assist us in our warfare causes individuals, families, churches, and nations to suffer needlessly at the hands of the devil. He shows no mercy to those who fail to resist and stand against him. Though spiritual warfare can be complex, the evil strategies of the devil usually fall in the areas of our temptations, thought life, treasures, and time, the four T's. The wise Christian can overcome these strategies of the god of this world by resisting the tempter, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, not loving the world, nor the things in the world, and by not giving place to the devil and to his demonic beings there, idols. So there you have it.
Amen. Amen.
That's warfare.
Great message. Great. That need, you probably would not hear that content right there in the majority of churches for decades now. And it's a sad thing, but the hallelujah for that. That's really good. Very good.
Hey, Russ, we got a couple minutes here, man.
Okay.
If you were me, or if I were you, or you were sitting over my shoulder watching the show today, what's the most urgent thing, Russ, in this time in which we live, in the next 6 months, in the next year, what should we have a sense of urgency about?
Becoming the most powerful, spiritually empowered, enabled believer, so close to the Lord, so deep in him, so empowered by him. Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. So, in all the knowledge we know and all the things we do and all the research we see and everything else, and even ministry that we do, Andrew Murray one time said, men search for better methods. God searches for better men.
Mm.
So the most powerful believer you can become in Jesus, that's the foundation by which everything else you do, everything else you do. So the stronger you are, that's why we read in Ephesians 6:10, it's in the passive in the Greek. Let yourself be empowered, dunamis, with the mighty strength of God. So putting on the armor of God should light us up because it means the fullness of God's power, might, and strength manifesting in us, manifesting through us, if we will but put on the armor of God. So it all comes down to that. We've got to become so close to Jesus. He's the hero of humanity. He is the Savior. He's God. In him are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So that's my bottom line. No, of all the things I would say and teach and do and everything else we need to apply, the number one, Dave, if you're asking number one, get as close to and is empowered and in your embrace of the Lord Jesus, because there's a victory over the flesh, victory over the world, victory over the devil, and great triumph. He'll lead you in triumph. He'll lead you in triumph. And through you, he'll spread the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. So become just massively powerful and strong in Jesus.
ShatterTheDarkness.net. Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Russ has got a lot of great stuff going on. Russ, we need more guys like you. And love I know you. You say all the time, all the training's right there on the website. It's all free. But Russ, it ain't the same as just sitting down and talking to you and just going from subject to subject. Appreciate your time today, brother. And I just pray God's blessings upon you, folks. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you live tomorrow again from where am I? Helena, Montana. God bless you all.